we are the only minority group that you can join overnight.
From Overnight Productions.
In the twinkling of an eye, in fact.
And here comes the National March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights.
Again, we're proud! Again, we're proud!
How do the people look today?
Oh, pretty strong and funny and all kinds. You wouldn't know how many people were gay until you took a look at this march.
I think we have to teach straight people how to count.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Same-gender partnerships lose in Hong Kong court, Uganda's Kill the Gays bill dies again, and queer marchers hit Washington the first time. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
And I'm Travis Avery.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending October 19th, 2019. A Hong Kong lesbian has lost her quest for queer civil partnerships. The Court of First Instance heard arguments in May and issued its ruling on October 18th. The government's opposition to equality relies on a hackneyed claim that civil partnerships or their equivalent for gay and lesbian couples would dilute and diminish civil marriage, making marriage no longer special. The plaintiff is identified as just M.K. Her attorneys argue that denying M.K. the right to a legally recognized civil partnership with another woman violates her constitutional rights to privacy and equality. They cite one of the provisions of the Basic Law and Bill of Rights Ordinance. Article 37 specifies that the freedom of marriage of Hong Kong residents and their right to raise a family freely shall be protected by law. But Judge Anderson Chow Kam Ming decided that Article 37 only applies to heterosexual couples. His ruling acknowledges what he calls diverse and even diametrically opposed views on the matter. However, he says he needed to take a strict legal approach. In Chow's words, the judgment expresses no view on the associated social, moral, and/or religious issues. He suggests that the question would be best resolved by lawmakers and not judges. The group Hong Kong Marriage Equality agrees that it's the government's duty to change the laws.
Conscience and commerce clashed in Hungary this week. Coca-Cola is looking at a fine of about $1,700 US from the Consumer Protection Department for a Pride-themed poster campaign. The Budapest Coke Zero ads featured queer couples and the slogan, "Zero Sugar, Zero Prejudice." The watchdog agency is charging that Coca-Cola breached the Advertising Act. According to Hungary Today, that law bans advertising that may damage the physical, mental, emotional, or moral development of children and adolescents. The posters appeared on buses and other forms of public transportation in August. Lawmakers from the right-wing ruling party condemned them immediately. Some called for a boycott. An online petition demanding that the ads be removed because they were popularizing homosexuality got tens of thousands of signatures. The global beverage conglomerate responded at the time that both heterosexuals and homosexuals have the right to love the person they choose. That statement said their advertising reflects those company values. Now Coca-Cola says they're weighing their options. They may appeal the decision.
Is the battle between Jamaica's Montego Bay Cultural Center and the local Pride organization over? Let's hope not. Montego Bay Pride had requested a permit to use the government-owned cultural center for a week-long series of events in mid-October. A public forum on marriage equality was included. Mayor Homer Davis said that city officials denied the permit to preserve what he called the sacredness of the space. The queer advocacy group challenged the city's decision. Supreme Court Justice David Batts ruled in their favor. Then Mayor Davis appealed Batts' decision. A 3-judge Court of Appeal ruling handed down on October 18th overturned the pro-pride decision, according to the Jamaica Gleaner news outlet. What next steps might be open to lawyer and Montego Bay Pride leader Morris Tomlinson? That's uncertain. As it now stands, the cultural center is off limits. Tomlinson said from the beginning that his group is not able to pay the much higher fees private facilities would cost, and that's if there were a venue whose owners were willing. Jamaica ranks high on the most anti-queer places lists of human rights activists. One unidentified businessman told the Gleaner this week that Mayor Davis has a right to stand up against this nastiness.
Uganda is another top contender on those most anti-queer places lists. 28-year-old LGBTQ activist Brian Waswa was savagely killed on October 5th. Waswa identified as gay and gender nonconforming, and he worked as a paralegal for the legal aid organization Human Rights Awareness and Promotion Forum. The group advocates for vulnerable minorities like LGBTQ people. Waswa was found unconscious in a pool of blood, allegedly bludgeoned with a short-handled garden hoe. Neighbors rushed him to the hospital, but he was declared dead soon afterwards. It's at best unclear if police will launch a legitimate investigation into the crime. Waswa is at least the 4th known victim of a brutal homophobic murder in the past 3 months.
On the brighter side, it seems that Uganda's unaffectionately tagged Kill the Gays bill will not be resuscitated after all. That's according to a government spokesperson's tweet. It follows Ethics and Integrity Minister Simon Lokoto vowing last week that the Anti-Homosexuality Act would soon be reintroduced in Parliament. The 2014 version of the measure had included the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality. It passed, but was struck down by the courts on a technicality. Lokoto is one of the East African country's most vocal queerphobic government officials. When he announced the bill's revival, he even expanded it to include imprisonment for anyone who just promotes LGBTQ rights. He was promising passage of the bill before the end of the year.
However, government spokesperson Afuano Apondo took to Twitter this week to counter Lokoto's claims. In Apondo's words, the government hereby clarifies that it does not intend to introduce any new law with regards to the regulation of LGBT activities in Uganda because the current provisions in the penal code are sufficient. What are those provisions? They include penalties of up to life in prison for consensual adult same-gender sex.
The avowedly anti-queer Baptist owners of the Chick-fil-A fast food chain might be eating their words this week. Nearly 2,400 U.S. outlets make the eatery the third largest fast food company in its home country, biting at the heels of McDonald's and Subway. Chick-fil-A's owners are infamous for opposing marriage equality. They funneled millions of corporate dollars into notoriously anti-queer organizations and programs, such as the Salvation Army, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and a youth home that requires their recipe for biblical obedience in all matters sexual.
The unfortunate Toronto franchise owner of the devout sandwich maker drew daily protests when he opened a first-ever outlet in Canada in September. Chick-fil-A's first outlet in the UK opened on October 10th in Reading, Berkshire's Oracle Shopping Center, but it won't be there for long thanks to very visible protests by queer rights activists and their supporters. A spokeswoman for the center announced this week that the right thing to do was not to extend the franchise's lease beyond the 6-month pilot period.
New Orleans, Louisiana's Lusher High School principal, Stephen Corbett, also made Chick-fil-A news this week. Corbett rejected the offer of a free chicken sandwich lunch catered by the nearby outlet for Teacher Appreciation Day. As Corbett told WWL-TV, "Out of respect to our LGBTQ staff, we have chosen to not serve Chick-fil-A at an employee lunch." Lusher's school motto is Be Kind. The principal said that the franchise's proudly espoused political viewpoints are not part of Lusher's culture of kindness and community. Teacher Appreciation Day is sponsored by the College Football Playoff Foundation. The foundation hosts the year-end holiday college football championship game in the Crescent City's Sugar Bowl and is not usually embroiled in controversy. It announced that it would bring food from another restaurant to the educators to celebrate their day.
Finally, the parents of Matthew Shepard, spoiled a party thrown by U.S. Attorney General and Trump defender William Barr this week. Judy and Dennis Shepard's gay son was brutally murdered in October 1998. They declined Barr's invitation to attend a Justice Department ceremony marking the 10th anniversary of the passage of the law named for the Wyoming college student, the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. Black Texan James Byrd Jr. was dragged to death behind a pickup truck by white supremacists the same year Shepard was killed. The Shepherds did send an executive from the Queer Rights Advocating Matthew Shepard Foundation to the event. Cynthia Dytle read a letter from the Shepherds that condemned the Attorney General for inviting them to the ceremony, while his Justice Department is telling the U.S. Supreme Court that LGBTQ people have no legal right to a job in three cases currently under consideration. Barr himself was not at the event. The New York Times reported that his Chief of Civil Rights Division, Eric Dryband, sat stoically behind Dytle as she read the statement. The Shepherds told Barr in their letter that either you believe in equality for all or you don't. We do not honor our son by kowtowing to hypocrisy.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending October 19th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Travis Avery.
And I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
This just in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of World Pride 2023 is Sydney!
The team responsible for the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras is bringing world pride to their city in 2023. Sydney's bid won over Montreal and Houston with 60% of the vote by members of the Worldwide InterPride Network. Nana Miss Curry, a.k.a. Graham Sims, was in Athens for the vote.
I'm honoured to be a part of Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras as a First Nations person, as a Gadigal representative and elder within my community. We are bringing World Pride 2023 to Gadigal land, Sydney. We're coming for you, baby.
Yay! Save
the rest of the world.
World Pride will be held during February and March of 2023 and will celebrate the 45th anniversary of Mardi Gras.
Like a shooting star, flying across the room, so fast, so far, gone too soon.
Hello, I'm Dennis Shepard, Matthew Shepard's father, and you're listening to This Way Out.
It took 10 years for LGBTQ liberation to journey from Stonewall to the first National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights in 1979. The road to get there hit the highway at a conference in Philadelphia and took the train from San Francisco. We revisited those two legs of the journey on our October 7th show. If you missed it, you can hear it at thiswayout.org. As LGBTQ History Month continues, we're commemorating its 40th anniversary with highlights from the march itself. You'll hear the voices of Allen Ginsberg, Kate Millett, Blackberry, Robin Tyler, Tom Robinson, Susan McGreevy, Meg Christian, Holly Neer, Mary Watkins, reporter Bruce Pennington, and the sounds of the huge, exuberant crowd. So let's go back to October 14th, 1979.
And here comes the National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights. The banner proclaims it, the women chant it. Third world women lead the march.
I never thought that I would ever see anything like this.
But we are, I am, we're survivors. I would cry if I were the type.
I'm from Cincinnati, and I totally and fully and wholeheartedly endorse the five demands that have been published that, you know, this march is for: the repeal of homophobic laws, the passage of gay and lesbian anti-discrimination laws, and protection of gay children and child custody cases, and all those things. I wholeheartedly support it, and I think that we're showing our power and our numbers, and I think this will affect our nation's view of gay and lesbian people. They'll see that we're a force that has to be contended with.
Hello, Allen Ginsberg. The love that dare not speak its name is finally out there in the nation's capital in front of the White House.
How do the people look today?
Oh, pretty strong and funny and all kinds. All kinds, from funny parrots to weird little kids with strange haircuts. It's just a huge smorgasbord of humanity. You wouldn't know how many people were gay until you took a look at this march. It's great.
Talking to Sherry and Judy from Ann Arbor. Are you all having a good time?
Wonderful time.
So nice to see a whole bunch of dykes.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I feel so supported. It's so, yeah. So much a part of this.
You know, somebody said last night at the concert that there's like really two cultures here, gay men and gay women, and they're very, very different. There needs to be respect for the differences. Do you feel that way?
I feel that way, and I feel like there is respect here. There's been no antagonism that I can possibly see at all.
I think everybody's so happy that so many people turned out, that everybody thinks it's a miracle.
Hey, hey! Homo! Patriarchy has to go! Hey, hey! Homo! Patriarchy has to go!
The author of Sexual Politics, Sita Fung, Kate Phillips!
We are the agents of one of the most important social transformations that has ever taken place since the beginning of patriarchy. But don't forget, we're outlaws. It's our great advantage. That's why I recommend it to you. We are the only minority group also that you can join overnight. In the twinkling of an eye, in fact. Fellow criminals, keep loving, keep making love, and soon there will be enough.
I don't think I ever imagined it would be so huge. And it's wonderful, and it's just fantastic that there are as many people here as there were in the great Civil Rights March of 1963. I mean, you think that gay civil rights started 10 years ago. To be able to build this huge movement in that short a time, it's really short of miraculous.
Dr. Charles Law has been selected by the Cultural Committee to express points of view relative to the meaning and the purpose of this entity.
There appears to be a general theme now that nobody really worries whether you are gay. Just go on and do your thing. And that is quite true. No one in America is concerned as to whether you are gay. No one is concerned whether a gay person loses his job. No one is concerned whether a gay person is harassed in his community. No one is concerned whether the laws of this country are slandered against gay people and invade their homes and their private lives. No one is concerned about the continual threats that override and oppress gay people every day. And I'm saying that there's a need for a concern, and I feel that we are expressing that need today.
I think this march has brought a lot of people together in this place at this time, and I think that they should go home and spread the news and spread the energy that they've shared here at home.
Hearts can inspire other hearts with their fire.
Tom Robinson, tell us about your reaction to today.
My reaction? I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's outsold Woodstock, except this is free.
All you gay women, all you gay
what's the significance of your multi-gendered apparel today?
I'm a witch.
Tell us about your T-shirt.
This is a name that was developed by the women in Fairbanks, Alaska. There's about 14 lesbians working and living up there. They came up with a name, Klondike, and there's a newspaper, lesbian newspaper out of Anchorage called the Klondike Contact.
I would like for the media not to do a whiteout on all the black people that were here today, because that, or any of the third world people as far as that goes, because that happens to us a lot. I mean, we put our energy into the gay community, and a lot of the white people get the focus, but we don't get nothing. So I just like to say that.
Our dreams and our goals for the Third World Conference were that hundreds of lesbians and gays of color would come together in a spirit of unity.
500 beautiful Indian, Asian, Latin, black, and white people met and celebrated ourselves. This is our vision.
Que viva Puerto Rico libre! Que viva Aztlán! Queremos compartir nuestra visión para el futuro, una visión que más allá de color, de lenguaje, de sexo, de clase, un futuro donde podemos aprender a respetar las diferencias de todos. Diferencias. Todos hemos sufrido por ser diferente y para la mayoría de nosotros salir del armario ha sido muy duro. Ahora hemos aprendido que nuestras, amar nuestras diferencias.
Our banner represents the gay Native American people.
Today, we are united as third world lesbian and gay men to overcome our oppression.
During the rally, one speaker quoted the park's police estimate, apparently when one march person overheard an officer saying, there must be 250,000 faggots out there.
Well, look at us! 250,000 in the daylight! No famines, no pestilence, no earthquakes, no floods!
Montana, gay folks from Montana.
I'm from Bismarck, North Dakota, and I'm out here marching with these people because we have to show them that we're everywhere.
We're talking to the international delegation. Let's hear where you're from.
Canada.
Australia.
Spain.
Vancouver, BC.
Australia.
Argentina.
Windsor, Canada.
We're here today because our struggle is everybody's struggle, and we feel oppressed a whole lot by all of the oppressions, gay, lesbian oppression. So consequently, we want to show our support for gay brothers and sisters in the United States in their struggle, and we hope that they'll return the favor and support us in our struggles.
The deaf gay are here. They're here. I want you to know that the deaf gay here are people. We are all the same. We are no different. We are human beings. I thank you. And I love you. Love you.
We are gentle, angry people, singing for our lives. We are gentle, angry people, singing for our lives.
Be courageous this year.
What disturbed me was to pick up a Washington Post and see 25,000, and pick up a New York Times and see 75,000, and listen to the news, the local news, that said 125,000. I think we have to teach straight people how to count.
I've reached a point where I see this as really deliberately malicious. Gay crowds are consistently counted this way, and the reason is that the United States government does not wish for the data about the strength of the homosexual community in this country to go overseas truthfully. It doesn't want it going out to the straight community that way. It keeps trying to pretend that we are not here.
Look at us, America. You know us. You see us in your offices. You see us in your schools, in your churches, in your government. We are some of your best friends.
This is a really serious political movement. And these numbers games that they were playing with us is just indicative of gay oppression.
I want those television cameras out there to turn around and focus on one of the largest demonstrations in the history of this country. Look at that crowd. Focus on that crowd.
The real irony of the National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights was that it both fulfilled and fell short of everyone's expectations. Those who warned that the age of apathy could not be overcome were surprised by the thousands of people who came from all over the country. Those who imagined that the march's success would advance the lesbian and gay liberation movement to a position of real power were surprised to discover that the impact of any event is determined by the significance granted it by the mass media. If a tree falls in the forest with no one to hear, does it make a sound?
For a copy of the entire hour-long documentary about the October 1979 National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights via download or CD, visit thiswayout.org.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Laura Dickinson Turner and Travis Avery, produced by Brian DeShazer. Thanks also to Barry McKay and William Broom. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trenton, Paul Bannon, Richard Merck, and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible, including you, we hope. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WPKN Bridgeport, Connecticut, 2XX Canberra City, Australian Capital Territory, KUCR Riverside, California, and a wide array of community radio stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now, y'all stay tuned.